Podcasts like the one you're about to hear are made possible in part by the support of the Rob Has a Podcast community that uses Patreon. I truly appreciate their support even more than millennials appreciate both puppies and butts. To find out more about the benefits of becoming an RHAP patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy everybody calls Mr. Cuddle Shack, Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, special edition of the podcast covering episode number 2 of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. And we have a special guest here in the studio, here with me in person, the great PG Law. PG, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. Can I mention that Rob decided to trigger me right before we started by showing me videos of Abby Maria dancing on the beach?
For the record, I did not intentionally go out of my way to trigger PG. They just so happened to be the things that were in the music video. I wanted to try to show her some of this.
Just ask Shereen Savage.
He's triggering me. It's so awful. Hello. The first thing that came up was about the bracelet.
Yes. 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 Sorry. I can't help it. That's the Hello PG video. That's just what's in the, that's the B-roll.
I love it.
Yes. Okay. So Hello PG.
Hello.
So nice to see you here in person. And I'm always like very honored when anybody schleps all the way into the valley to come and see me. So I'm very happy.
Oh, thanks for having me. And your studio looks amazing, might I add. I'm so happy to be one of the first people in the new video.
Yes,
podcast.
Yes. And we're recording the video of this. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, hopefully we have a nice video up for you guys to check out. You can go to our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube for the full video version of this interview. That is, unless something happens like the studio catches fire or something didn't record, you know, but bear with us. We're figuring it out, PG.
You guys will have to tune in and see if that happens, then they'll have to come watch the video.
Yes. Anyway, so very excited to have you here. And we have never done a recap podcast together talking about an episode. We talked during the Second Chances.
During
the run up to Second Chance, and then obviously coming out of that. But I'm excited to dive into talking about an episode with you.
I'm so happy that this is the episode I'm recapping, because I was very emotionally affected by this episode. And also, might I add that like the only two people that I've actually met from the season were both Mari and Hannah. Mm-hmm. So I watched the season premiere with Mari, and then I watched last night with Hannah.
Yeah.
So I feel like, okay, I feel a little connected to these people. I know a little bit of their story. And last night's episode really revolved around the two of them and their relationship. So I'm kind of excited to dig in. I'm really upset about the vote last night, because Mari was, oh, she was my pick to, you know, to win. And she reminds me a little bit of myself back mm-hmm. in my first season. I was about her age when I did Survivor for the first time. Gamer. I used to be a dancer. Asian. So I had high hopes for her.
Yeah, because a lot of people I know saw the pictures last week that you had tweeted. I think you and Kenny and Mari had. And so I think that people didn't really know, had you guys been friends or you just met through Survivor?
Well, I've been friends with Kenny for a long time.
Sure. Ken, no, that we know. That we know. The new person.
So you know, Kenny's a game. He's a pro gamer. And so I guess Mari had reached out to him after she came back and was like, hey, I'm going to be on the next season. We should get together and watch. Mm-hmm. And so he had told me that he was going to watch with her. And I happened to be in L.A. the day of the premiere. Like, I flew in that day. And so he had already told me he was watching with her. And I'm like, I got to come along and meet this chick, like, you mm-hmm. know, and hang out with Asian gamers unite. It was really fun. Like, I'm glad I got to go down and meet her, you know, and at least spend some time with her and kind of get to know her and get in her head before this episode.
Yeah. And so in the episode last night, did you feel like that she got a really raw deal?
Yes. Okay. Yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, yes and no. You know, here's the thing. It's essentially the first vote for their tribe, right? Mm-hmm. And the first votes are always one of those things. There was actually a lot of strategy considering it was a first vote. Usually first votes are like, everybody says one name, everyone just dogpiles on top of that because they're glad it's not them.
Like Chicken Morris?
Like, yes, yeah, damn.
See, I'm so far away from my sound effects. So like,
damn! Yeah, damn. So far away.
But what was I saying?
Sorry, I so rudely interrupted you. The first vote and the first name.
The first vote is usually relatively easy, you know, and we saw a lot of strategy going on last night in regards to that. And I got to say that Jay and Michelle were putting in work. They put in some serious work, and I'm sure we'll get to that later. But, you know, the thing that I heard a lot from both Mari and Hannah personally and from interviews and from seeing it is that Mari was not really engaging socially with a lot of people. Or even if she was engaging socially, she wasn't engaging strategically. These are also two different things, and you have to be on top of that because, like, I don't know if this is – it's not giving away anything, but I was talking to Hannah. And she goes, I'm really good friends with Mari, and I felt like we got along really, really well. But I don't feel like she really engaged me strategically. It was like we're friends, but maybe I – you know, but we didn't make an alliance is what I kind of heard. And the other thing that I think was apparent was that there was this – yes, there's a four – there was a four-person triforce. You know, but apparently they were really strong. And I heard the Freaks and Geeks were actually not really officially aligned. They were just kind of loosely together because they were just not part of the foursome.
Yeah. Do you think that part of that was based out of this idea of the millennials and this tribe where I know we probably put too much stock in, oh, what are millennials doing? But I do think that there is something to that where the younger people, I think that the idea of a who are the four, who are the five, I do think that that's more of a more grown up thing. Whereas I think that younger people might be a little bit more like, oh, it's looser in terms of what we're doing. They don't have an exact structure of what the alliance is going to be.
I think that's probably a true fact. And there were people, as we saw, like people were floating back and forth between things. Like we saw Jay was spending a lot of time talking to Zeke and Adam, and he was working, you know, with a lot of different people. Michelle was going around talking to all the different groups. And I heard that, you know, Hannah had actually spent a lot of time with Michelle, and they were actually really, really close, even though we don't maybe always, you know, see this. So I think it's a little bit more fluid than how it seems, you know, even though like us, we want to, it's easier to see like there's two different groups and this is who you're going to root for. But it's not always, I guess, that clear cut.
Do you think that part of it was Mari being older than the rest of the people on this tribe?
Yes, there are a few things that set her apart from everyone, and it's in Survivor, like you don't really want to stand apart from other people. So ethnicity, I'm sure, had to do with it. Age, you know, possibly. And I think part of it might have also, you know, and so like if you're not that close to other people, it's easy for you to be the person that's singled out. And I heard that maybe possibly it was like maybe her fame was maybe played a part. Oh, she doesn't need this as much as we do because she's already kind of famous and, you know, making good money.
To me, that doesn't seem like a millennial thing. That seems like more of a Gen Xer type thing. But she did mention in my exit interview with Mari that I did this morning that Will was a person who she didn't count on there being an 18-year-old who was aware of all of these internet videos and being super aware of what Smosh was. And she felt like that was something that was a disadvantage to her.
It could have gone both ways, though. It could have been like he's such a fan that, you know, he would have been loyal to her. But I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget now because we're so far from being 18. But when you're an 18-year-old boy and there's two hot, cool, popular chicks that are like, come be with us and we're going to welcome you to the fold, that is really, really powerful and enticing. And that might win out over an internet celebrity, like the hot chicks, you know, internet celebrity. Like, I don't know, when you're 18, you're not thinking entirely with, you know, the head up here. Like,
yeah. Which of your two first votes do you feel like that this was more like? Was this more like China or was this more like in Cambodia for you?
This was Cambodia, 100%. China was easy, an easy vote. You know, we threw a name out there. Everyone just piled on top of it. It's not us. Good. In Cambodia, there was definitely two factions going on. some level kind of strategy, and I was probably one of those swing votes, you know, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you know, and of course I regret the vote that I did the first time, but this is one of those things. Socially, I got along better with Vetus than I did with Abby Maria.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that were aligned with Abby Maria actually offered me a spot in their alliance, whereas the other group did not. So ultimately, that's who you have to go with, even though you may not like. And I feel like this is where Hannah kind of had to make that decision of, I like Mari, but this other group is offering me an alliance. Plus, they had the numbers. Like,
yeah. What did you think of the Hannah vote where she goes into the booth for so long? I mean, that's sort of like very unprecedented where I'm sure that we've had it before. Again, we don't know the runtime. Is she in there for, you know, 30 seconds? Is it 2 minutes? We don't know how long she's actually back there for. But I mean, that's what's going through your head as you're sitting there as she's doing that.
First of all, that was one of the most amazing tribal council moments ever.
Yeah.
It's not very often where someone actually changes their vote
mm-hmm.
at tribal council. She told me that it was a good 10 minutes that she was in there. You know.
Yes. 10 minutes.
It's like a long time.
I mean, it has to be a long time for Jeff to do the...
Hello, are you okay in
yeah.
there? Like, did you keel over? Did you have a cardiac? did you have a cardiac event?
Get the chopper
like,
in. Yeah.
It was, you know, like, or do we have to call Dr. Joe? Everybody, she said she could hear everybody laughing and talking, like, to the point where Jeff came over and looked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a crazy tribal, you know, that they're whispering. Poor Mari, I love her, but for her to be oblivious at this point in the game that there's a side conversation, like, they're not whispering about puppies at Tribal Council.
Or butts.
Or butts. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like,
yeah.
You need to be a little bit paranoid at this point.
Yeah. So how impressed were you with what Michelle was able to do to be able to turn that vote around?
Michelle was putting in work. Like,
yeah.
It's enough to make me believe in dragons. Like, she had dragons helping
wow.
her or something. Like, well, I...
Yes.
I'm a full-time nerd, so I'm on board the dragon train.
Yes. Also, that in, of course, that Survivor China, a lot of dragons.
Yes, yes. Like, there's a lot of dragon mythology in my life. And I just got finished, I've been really immersed in reading fantasy, so
okay.
There may be some nerdy references.
That's fine. You're in the right place.
I feel at home amongst the freaks and geeks. Yeah.
So did Mari, but then it wasn't that safe.
Well, she had, you know, it's the tribe that she was on too.
Yeah.
When you, there's a level of luck in there. She rolled and got like a one out of the 20-sided die.
Wow.
This is getting really nerdy here.
But you play Dungeons and Dragons too?
I have played actual pen and paper Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, in between playing video games,
mm-hmm.
Reading these fantasy novels, and then I've just been watching Stranger Things with
yes.
all the, like, yes, this is where my head is at right now during this podcast.
Wow. Okay.
And dragons with
your popularity is only skyrocketing, PG.
I never thought the mention of a 20-sided die would actually make me popular.
You're in the right place. I've actually never really played. Like, I went to, you know, we're way off the track, but I had very few friends, PG, believe it or not. But one kid, I went to his house and he was like playing it. I was like, what are we doing here? What is this?
It's that you've never played.
No, not really.
It's a role-playing game.
I would like it. I think I would like it.
If you like Survivor, Survivor is a giant role-playing game.
Yes. Okay. That's, so what did you learn about Survivor from Dungeons & Dragons?
It's, you know what? It's such a perfect analogy. You have basically a DM, the Dungeon Master. He controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jeff Probst, okay?
The Dungeon Master.
Jeff Probst is the Dungeon Master.
Yes.
Okay? You have your party, your party of adventurers.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your meat shields, and these are the tanks. These are the warriors, and we all know who those guys are.
Yes.
Like, they're guys like Paul or, you know.
Paul's a meat shield?
Paul's a meat shield. Tay is a meat shield.
Yes.
Tay is a meat shield. You're going to have, you have clerics who are support. So
yes,
they help
that's
you.
Survivor Medical?
Yes, that's Survivor Medical. Well, no, but these are the people that are there for your vote. Like, Hannah is probably.
Cleric?
She's support.
Okay.
She's support. She's there to staunch the bleeding. If you have, like, you know, leaking votes or something, you
yes.
need a number. That's who they are. And then
for Mari.
Not for Mari, no. So, and then, like, I would say Michelle was, gosh, you have casters. Casters cast from the back line. So they're the ones that are protected right now. Mm-hmm. And everyone lines up to protect them. So I would say, like, in this episode, Figgy got lucky. She had a whole team trying to save her and protect her. And so Michelle is a skirmisher. She's a skirmisher. So these are fighters, and mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of hit points, mm-hmm. but they are the ones that you sent out, and they are the ones that do a lot of attack damage in the front lines.
What was Mari?
God, Mari was the dragon. They had to slay, I guess. Well, no, she was... Gosh, that's not probably a good analogy.
Well, what are you?
Me? Oh, God. I was an assassin.
Assassin. are you the same thing in both seasons?
No, I'm a skirmisher. Okay. My personality type is a skirmisher.
Yes.
So
and what am I?
You're a caster.
Caster.
You're a caster.
You Rob Casternino. That's
yes.
me. I'm a podcaster. It works on every level.
Yes, you got to hide behind the meat shield and cast your spells.
Hide behind the microphone and from far away.
Exactly. Yes. We're going to snipe people from afar.
And make just say things that are very passive aggressive comments from very far away.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you have people there to protect you.
Yes. No, the people are never there to protect me. Unless somebody attacks me on Twitter, then sometimes.
Because you have wind wall or something. You have space.
If I saw somebody in person, nobody would be there to protect me, but at least I'm virtually protected.
That's
good. Oh. All right, so you were impressed with Michelle. Are you seeing potential for her to go very far into the game? Like, did you see enough here in one tribal council to say that she could be the person to watch out for?
Yes, because she has
She was really good for a first tribal council. She was really, really good.
So good.
And she did it really without pissing anybody off. She really did it very artfully.
Yes.
And we saw a lot of different skill sets where we saw that she was, one person to somebody and another person to somebody else. So I really came away very impressed. It was not the outcome that I wanted at that tribal council, but I was impressed with how she pulled that off.
Yes, and she showed a lot of awareness, too, of I can't, everyone seems to want, most people would say, this is who everybody wants out, I don't want to rock the boat, let's just go with it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, I need to save my friend, and she showed real awareness, and she went in, she put in work, she got, Will and Michaela, those were the two that you needed to flip.
Mm-hmm.
But then she was also smart enough to clue in Hannah, even though it was a little bit late at Tribal Council, but better that she feels at least somewhat included than left out of the group vote, so that was a really smart move. And I also have to give props to Jay. God, I keep getting them mixed up.
Taylor and Jay, yeah.
Yeah, to Jay, because he showed a lot of awareness also, he was kind of, and you saw him talking to all the different groups, which was kind of cool. He's not really isolating himself mm-hmm. the way Tay and Figgy are. You could see him talking to Zeke and Adam and he was discussing the showmance with them. He wasn't trying, and in fact, he went up to Tay later and was like, hey, bro, man, you want to mac on chicks or you want to snowboard and chill? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually kind of guiding people through it also. So I think those two were really players of the week.
I was really surprised that Jay was so obsessed with the numbers there because, but they only had four to begin with. And to lose Figgy, wouldn't it be better in some ways to get Taylor with his head back in the game? Are you better off to have sort of a true ride or die, to borrow the Big Brother term? If you don't have the numbers anyway, are you better off? Wouldn't that have been potentially a net positive to lose Figgy, but to have Taylor's head be in the game?
Yes and no, but it's a little early for that. You want to have numbers, and he knows for a fact
especially
Figgy's
though,
on his side.
But that Figgy is on his side, but if you lose Figgy, he's already been told that Michaela is next. So it's not necessarily boy, if we lose Figgy, then I'll be next, and then Taylor, and so my whole alliance is going to be gutted. It's more boy, I would lose the person I'm already losing out to. Now I have a real person who I can move forward with in this game. He seems so against the idea of the showmance. Now he's still stuck with the showmance. Yes, they have the numbers, but maybe he would have been in a better situation long term to not have Figgy around.
Maybe, but he also, I think, covered himself by going up to Michaela and telling her that she's second after Figgy. Mm-hmm. So I think that move really is what swayed her over to his side. And on top of that, now Michaela is invested in kind of keeping Figgy around because she knows that they want her next. So Michaela knows she needs to keep Figgy around also to have a shield. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing I heard is Figgy is actually a little bit abrasive at camp also.
Figgy.
A little bit.
Wow.
So the, you know, just condescending. I don't, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to say, I don't really know because I'm not there. This is
now, are you saying that you heard stories out of school or you're saying this is like in secret scenes? Where are you reporting this information from?
From the mouths of babes.
Okay, got
so
it. Got
I,
it.
You know, this is this is still speculative because mm-hmm. I wasn't there. But, you know, on top of that, so I think it behooves them to keep her around because they know that maybe she's someone. If the numbers suddenly turn on them, she may still be the first target.
I did think that Figgy was pretty hard on Michaela. I know that it was a two-way street, that Michaela was hard on Figgy, but I felt like that while Michaela, I thought, was pretty artful in her dissection of Figgy, of like that she did it in a funny way. I mean, Figgy was just calling Michaela a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's not funny.
No, it's not funny. And by the way, Michaela was amazing.
She's fantastic.
Last season. She was like, my mouth is shut, but my eyebrows are still talking.
Yeah, she's great. She's really funny.
You know, so I think in a way it's kind of smart to keep Figgy around. She's has now become a meat shield,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you need those around you.
Yes. Can we talk about your feelings for Figgy based on social media? Can we talk about this?
Yes, Figgy posted this tweet this morning that just had me so livid, and I just...
You said you were triggered.
It triggered me. It triggered me a lot. It's just, it was this tweet where I showed Rob and he didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I was a little bit like, oh, okay, I can't wait to see this. And then I looked at it. I was like, this is what you're upset about?
Well, it's this tweet and it's this picture of the four of them laughing and it goes, what? Dot, what is it? What? Dot, dot, dot. You really thought I was going home tonight? It's
hashtag squad.
Hashtag squad, you know, hashtag smug. Like it was so smug and condescending.
Yes.
It's so typical of these cool kids.
Now, are you offended as a Gen Xer? Are you offended as...
I'm offended as a freaks and geeks.
Yes. Okay.
Like it's, you know, these like clearly you're beautiful and popular. Everybody wants to be in your group already. Like you don't need to... rub it in even more after you already won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not gracious. This is, it's kind of classless. Like,
yes.
you've already won. You don't need to rub it in.
You want to throw the flag.
Exactly.
Excessive celebration.
She's rubbing more salt. She's pouring the salt.
That's why Mari's a salty.
She is salty because Figgy is pouring salt in the wound. I mean,
yes.
You know,
yeah, and not for anything. I mean, did Figgy even really do anything to save herself? I mean, she really was saved by the grace of Michelle.
Exactly.
I mean, Figgy and Taylor, like neither of them did anything. It was all Jay and Michelle.
Well, their mouths were busy.
Yes they were. Now, could you believe that? Could we talk about this? That I mean, how could you? I mean. Could you imagine? I mean, you were with Jamie and Eric out in China. I mean, but this stuff wasn't happening, right? Maybe
there was maybe some happening.
Maybe
they were very smart in mm-hmm. hiding it. Although it was clear that they were kind of a twosome, mm-hmm. and you always have to be a little bit worried about that. But they handled it really, really mm-hmm. well, and they weren't constantly going off by themselves. And in fact, because the two of them are so kind of sweet and innocent, that you
yes.
kind of rooted for them. Eric's a 26-year-old virgin, for God's sake.
Yes.
Like, you're like, let the boy have some. Like,
yes.
You know?
Finally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, please.
Yes.
You know, so it's... In my season, it wasn't to the point where you felt like you needed to break them up. But also, we were constantly coming from a place of coming up from behind anyway. Like, mm-hmm. we didn't have the luxury of like, oh, should we break them up or not? Because they were on my side.
Yes.
You know?
And you used to live with Amanda.
Used to live with Amanda.
Yes. Did that, again, she's the poor person that we point to and say like, well, what about Amanda and Ozzy?
Oh man, why am I always the third wheel in
the proxy,
these
yeah.
Survivor showmances?
Yeah, you're like the J.
Exactly. Don't do that, bro. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? All I have to say is that out there, I look, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every, you know, these people are attractive. Mm-hmm. You feel lonely. It's cold at night. You're going to have to cuddle with someone. You might as well do it with someone who's attractive.
Yes.
You know, but at some point you would think that they would learn better. Like, I think when Amanda and Ozzy had their showmance, they were on pretty good footing then. Yeah. So they had a little bit more luxury, you know, in indulging themselves. Yeah. And
Well, PG, I also have been out there with Rob and Amber.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
I really, like, I was beside myself at the point where I remember it was the very first night of Survivor All-Stars. And I'm like, what is this about? Oh, my God. How stupid. I can't believe this. How dumb are they that they're going to get voted out? This is great. What a windfall. This has fallen into my lap. And these idiots. Oh, my God. They're so stupid.
Oh, man.
And never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that, well, I'd be voted out. And then
you were the only one thinking that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, what a target they're painting. This is such a gift from heaven that these two people have gotten together.
Oh,
and nobody else saw it that way. Nobody else was like, boy, we better break these two up. And, you know, and good for them that they've really stood the test of time. But I just felt like that it was unfathomable to me that people would say, like, this is such a bad strategic decision.
It's frustrating beyond belief. I mean, you feel like I feel like Cassandra constantly. You can see the future, but nobody believes you.
Yes.
Like, this is how I felt in China when I saw Todd and Amanda and Courtney clicking up, and I was like, you guys got to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
Todd's going to win. I mean, you guys are all on the outside. Like, why does nobody else see this? And they're not a power couple, but, you know, it's so frustrating seeing certain things happen and just not being able to convince other people, like, power couples are a bad idea. You know?
Now, do you see them as a power couple, or are they more of
just a couple?
They're just a couple.
There's no power going on here. I mean, there is some, but only because they have been their allies are because they have good allies that are putting in work. But I don't feel like they really did a lot on their own except to get the loyalty of those other two people, which and that is actually not an easy thing to do. Also, to inspire such loyalty that other people will put their necks out on the line to help save you.
Do we have an official name for Taylor and Figgy yet?
No, should we? They need
well,
one.
Well, I've got two options for you.
Okay.
Do you like Tiggy?
I knew you were going to say Tiggy.
Or do you like Failer?
Yes. Let's ding. I think we have a winner.
Failer or Figgler? What do you like? Figgler reminds me of Josh Wiggler.
It does. So,
but
I would,
Failer is funnier.
No. We have... There's no, Failer.
Okay, hashtag.
Hashtag Failer.
Hashtag Failer. That's the official the official name of Figgy and Taylor.
Well, now that we don't have Brangelina anymore, we need
somebody. They're the new Brangelina.
Yes.
They're the new
Failer. Hashtag Failer.
Failer will be able to get us through the void that was left by Brangelina.
Yes. Hopefully they will go the same route very soon.
Mm-hmm.
This is my personal hope, but...
All right. Well, let's talk about the Gen Xers. We haven't even breathed one word about them. Are you bored with the Gen Xers? Yes.
Yes. I mean, you know, there's the only one that's been really there's a good bromance brewing.
Yes.
The bromance is good. So it's like David and Ken.
Yes. Ken and David. Sure.
Yes. This is by far actually the romance that we should all really be focusing on.
Yes.
Out there. And it was kind of interesting to see Ken, you know, kind of, he's not what you would expect of him, like just looking the way he does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that he's the one that David gravitated towards,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they seem so total opposites, but maybe inside, like, they're the same, and mm-hmm. you know, and that warms my little heart. So they're interesting. I feel like it was like a cardiac nun event.
Yes.
I don't even know why they showed it. But.
Yes. Well, I think that, you know, that's drama. Go to an act break on that. Go to the commercial.
But it was like, oh, he has indigestion. Like, that's, I don't, what was it? It was just he was dehydrated or something.
I don't know what they said. They looks like cardiac arrest. And I was like, no, he's fine.
No, it was a little gas. Like, yeah,
a little gas.
No, I don't mean to put light on it. I'm sure it was serious out there. But I feel like if it doesn't involve an evacuation or something, I don't know that I need to spend 10 minutes.
So what do you think? They should have just, like, yada yada it?
No.
I just don't think there's a lot going on at Gen X Beach.
Well, they could take the Cloak of Invisibility off of Lucy and maybe let her...
Why? Isn't that a good thing for Lucy to be invisible?
No. Yes and no. Yeah, in the
game.
I feel
like everybody's piling on Lucy very quickly after two episodes.
Well...
It's a 20-person cast. There's only been two episodes.
That's true, but she could use a little bit more than, like, stink eye reaction shots. I mean...
Well, it is funny with the photos that they didn't do cast photos this season. And the photo that they took of her, she's really not even smiling or even looking at the camera. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's bad. we just don't know a lot about the Gen Xers. I don't know anything about Lucy. I don't know anything really about Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday. Right?
Yeah, Sunday. She was hardly in the episode last night.
Jessica?
Gen X Jessica.
I can barely even remember their... Yeah, Gen X Jessica. She's the one that found the advantage.
She had the advantage.
And she had pink eye.
Yes, she has like whatever was going on with her eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Paul, who's the old guy. And Brett is the cop.
Yes. Yeah.
And shit, there's one more, the redhead.
Yeah.
Chris. Okay.
Yes.
So we didn't hear... I don't feel like we heard a lot from them. And the dynamic is... I guess the dynamic's pretty straightforward, too. Like, you know, and they didn't go to tribal, so we're just going to see less of them by default.
Now, what did you think last night when David was going around and he needed to get all of those rocks because he wanted to make a places for people to sit? Did that remind you at all as when Crazy Dave made the barbecue pit at John Who?
Yes and no, because yes. Crazy Dave made all of us haul rocks for him.
So was it the same?
It was not the same. Well, I thought it was really funny because Paul goes, yeah, we're going to put David to work getting those rocks because we need to keep him busy so he doesn't start looking for idols and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and David's off going, I need to look for rocks, so I have an excuse to go look for these.
Yeah, backfired.
Idol.
It backfired.
Yeah. And I love that they had it inside a coconut, and this man could barely break a twig in half, and he's like, how am I going to get into a freaking coconut? Mm-hmm. But I was also...
It was like a paper mache coconut, this one, though.
Well, or like they glued it back together.
Oh, is that what they did?
I think it was a real coconut that
they had.
It was
a real coconut? Wow.
It. But it was also like... Too easy. What happened?
I thought it was too easy too.
What happened to the clues and you had to go on a hunt or, you know, you have to snipe it out during like the challenges? Like, so that was a little disappointing. I thought it was going to be a clue inside and he was going to have to climb this tree or find it. Like, it would be attached to a stick figure or a loud noise. Mm-hmm. And like, I wanted a little bit more drama surrounding him finding it.
I always really did like in China with the immunity idols on the signpost. I always really did like that.
Well, and also how they did it where. You got kidnapped and then you had to give the clue to one member of the opposite side, which I found this created an interesting dynamic because now there's one person on each tribe that knows about the idols and kind of knows who has the clue to it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's something from like the middle seasons of Survivor that they've sort of abandoned that I feel like always delivered something of, okay, you have to pick one person to go over to the other tribe. I mean, they did that with you guys. They did it in Tokenshin's Samoa. It really pays some dividends also where just like, okay, you get to see a little bit of like what's going on there. And then you go, oh, like, let's make an alliance with this person or give a clue. So I like that. I don't know why they got away from that.
Well, it's also, I think, partly because they switch up the tribes so often now, though. You know, in my first season, we only had that one switch, and it was only two people.
And it was very unfair.
It was, you know what, there's no rules in Survivor.
yes.
You know, you choose who you choose, and that's it. No, but like, so I think... You know, those were good
poor
for
Aaron.
Insight. Poor Aaron.
Poor Aaron. You really screwed him over.
Yes, but to be fair, I still say Aaron brought it on himself to a certain extent because it could have just as easily have been James. You know, but when you make it clear that you're not 100% with the new tribe, I don't really have a choice except to want to vote you out. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you all my secrets. Well, then what good are you? Like, I'm not going to belabor this point.
Well, you have to tell PG all your secrets or what good are you? what good are you?
Well, you have to prove your loyalty. This is why David gave his idol, you showed the idol to Ken. You know, you have to say here, I want to be your ally. And to prove, you know, my loyalty to you, I'm going to share a secret with you. That's
That's it.
It's quid pro quo. Like, you want to play, you know?
Yes.
You want to stay and play or what? Like, no, I, you know, so it's like, it's kidnapping twists are good to get insight on the other tribe, but it doesn't matter when they're already, it looks like they're going to have a swap.
Yes.
Next episode.
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, I'm cheating a little because I heard you and Steven discussing this.
Yes.
So I think, was it Steven that said he thinks it's going to be three? It's going to be like in second chances.
Similar to second chances. And then we're going to have some new Angkor tribe that's going to come together. And then we've speculated of maybe there could be, they could keep one millennials, one Gen X, and then have one sort of like chocolate and vanilla swirl. Like a 50-50 tribe.
No, I think it'll be totally random.
Totally random.
Yeah, because, you know, these things are, I think these things are fun, but as you see, it's getting really unbalanced really fast, where the Gen Xers are not getting a lot of screen time. There's not a ton of drama going on there.
Right, like that tribe of six Gen Xers could potentially be super boring. It could be like, you know, if you could get like, you know, a very, like, you don't even need to check in with what's going on over there.
No, and they're playing a super old school game also of like, let's get rid of the annoying person. We need to keep this person for strength. I mean, it's like
too old school.
It's very old school. It's not that interesting anymore. And you got to shake things up a little bit, and it'll be really interesting to see how.
So you think we go with three completely shook up tribes?
But I think you have a point I didn't even think about. They must have a third beach where they give them nothing.
Mm-hmm. Just to go back to Angkor and how, and that was very unfair, right? That they gave you, like, you guys had to start from scratch on the worst beach that we found out that was also the worst tribe in the previous season. And Darnell was aqua dumping right on the beach, that he's going to be on my voicemail podcast later on tonight. So that's a good plug for him. You found all this out after the fact.
Oh God, that was a terrible beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bad. Like, it was bad enough that we're giving nothing and no food, and you've already expended all your energy building this shelter, and now you go there. Like, we just slept on the sand because none of us had any energy to even build the shelter.
Yeah.
It was all uphill. So it's like all the materials, you had to climb this thing and with no food or water. It was.
So what should they do? How do they make this fair? How do they make it right for season 33?
Maybe they take them to all three new beaches.
Oh, everybody has to go to a new beach.
They can't just have a beach
that's like kind of set up already.
Or what if they had them all on like one new beach and then?
Oh, you want to go to like a one world twist with where you, okay, we're going to go to one place. All the tribes are going to live on one new beach. And that's interesting.
No, but I wouldn't want that. I'm really rooting against the Cool Kids Alliance. I'm sorry, but this is the nerd in me that just really wants to see them taken out.
I relate to them, so I'm rooting for them, Peachy.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, yes. The just the popular people that are, like, included in everything. I feel like that's been the story of my life.
It's close to your heart.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to turn my back on that.
It's hard to be beautiful. It's work. Everyone's looking at you.
Those are my people. It's you know, me and Figgy and Taylor.
I just want to snowboard and chill for the rest of your life. Yeah. I mean, what else would you do with this
money? Planning a snowboarding trip over the hiatus in January. So get ready.
And you can hear them talk about macking on chicks.
Yes, yes, just macking on chicks the whole time.
Oh, man. No, I really want to see that group get broken up and then suddenly they're put into an new territory.
Well, here's how we'll know what's going to happen. So when we watch the episode on Wednesday, if the episode starts off and Taylor is like, oh, we're made in the shade, we've got this thing on lock, the four of us, like whoever they show of that group who's the most overconfident, that's who's going to go home.
Well, Mari wasn't being overconfident this episode.
Well, I have to say that I felt like that the kiss of death for Mari was after the challenge when so millennials are going to tribal council and we saw Mari say, well, I guess tonight it's going to be Figgy. That's what's going to happen. And that's going to be like, lock it up. Figgy's going home tonight. And it wasn't just that they were telling us Figgy was going home. It was also her. She was the one who was saying it. Like, that's really bad. That's like the edit kiss of death.
That's true. And
that's not edgic. That's not edgic.
And you didn't see a lot of her strategizing after that. Mm-hmm. So when everyone else is scrambling, this is one thing I really kind of noticed that made me worried was we saw a lot of different groups all talking, and that was the only time I saw Mari talking to anybody. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like, nobody approached her to discuss strategy. And yeah, that was a little bit worrying.
It was troubling. It was troubling, but unfortunately for Maria, it didn't work out. But just sticking with the Gen Xers, that David, do you feel like that he can bounce back from where he's been over these first 2 weeks? Do you feel like that he can make a run in this thing?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
David doesn't come off as a threat mm-hmm. to a lot of people. He's very easy to dismiss mm-hmm. because of that. And I think he's good at... Clearly, he's really good at ingratiating himself with people. He went up to Ken right away and showed him that he had the idol.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so he's good at kind of making friends in that way. And he picked, I think, the right person, too. That's another important thing, right? Like, a lot of people don't always pick the right people to show the idol to. And I think that Ken may have been a good person.
Ken seems like a solid guy.
He's maybe a little bit on the outs, but it's easier mm-hmm. for him to yeah. draw people to
him. He's a strong guy. They're not getting rid of him.
He's a strong, good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if they swap eventually, like, I think he'll be kind of safe. And yeah. you want someone who's going to be kind of safe to be in your alliance.
Did you find it odd that when David was describing his alliance with Ken, it wasn't just like, hey, I'm working with Ken, and that's great. He was like, yeah, I'm working with Ken, and who wouldn't want to date Ken? And he's like a good-looking guy, and like it just seemed like it took a weird turn in terms of like talking about him as a potential, like a mate. Not to imply that David is looking at Ken in that way, but in how he was describing him, I felt like that was odd to talk about in an alliance partner.
It's a little bit odd.
It was a little bit The Bachelor, yeah.
But what about David hasn't been odd so far?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Although he didn't, like, he was slowing them down in the challenge, but it wasn't a deal breaker. Like, Jeff was, like, ready to pounce on that he was, you know, slow in the challenge, but it wasn't a total disaster.
No, but his belly flop was quite amazing.
Yeah. PG, who is the greatest Dave in Survivor history? We have so many to choose from. Of course, we have David Wright. We have the great Dave Cruiser.
Former model.
We have, yes. We have Dave Ball. We have David Murphy. We have David Sampson.
Yes.
So many great legendary Daves to choose from. Dave Johnson, Bangarang.
Which season was he in?
He was on my season, PG.
Okay. I'm clearly not a know-it-all.
That's fine. We're coming up on, we could have like a Dave's versus Mike's versus, you know, Rob's, John's. I mean, we're coming up on a three-tribe season for the Daves.
That's true. There's a lot of good Daves to choose from. Mm-hmm. I have to say that this Dave is... he is approaching
He's
some...
He's up there.
He has got some legendary status already.
Yes. Okay.
Excuse me. I mean, he has been the standout star on Gen X, mm-hmm. for, you know. And the thing is, what I will say is I did notice for all of his quirky montage that they give him, he did not get the Dodo clown music that Fishbach got on my season.
Yes.
This was, you know, like when I saw this, the Fishbach montage, and I was like, oh, shit, he's getting the clown music. Like, this mm-hmm. is bad. You know, and
but you knew he wasn't going home, so you felt okay for Steven or for David. You're talking about,
well, for both. I mm-hmm. knew both of them weren't going home, but it's interesting that the producers didn't give him clown music.
Yes.
Like, it was like, we want you to. This is endearing, and this is more endearing and less clownish, is what they're trying to lead us down mm-hmm. that path.
Steven and I were talking about how Jeff reacted to the hijinks at Tribal Council last night. Did you notice a difference in Jeff's approach at that Tribal Council?
Jeff was being really lenient.
Yeah. Like, he's in such a good mood.
Yeah. It was, he let that side conversation go on for way too long.
Yeah.
Like, normally he would, well, no, he knows to let it marinate a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the DM. He knows how to.
The dungeon master.
He's the dungeon yeah. master. He's control, you know. And I think, you know, he knows to let it marinate. And he was good about, when he asked them, and then he was good about asking Mari, like, well, what do you think of this discussion? What's mm-hmm. going on there? Which, you know, God, what I'm trying to think of what else they talked about at the tribal.
They were talking about certainly what was going on with the showmance. They were talking about the fight between Figgy and Michaela. So Jeff really had a lot to work with.
He was throwing softballs.
Yes. Okay. Do you feel like that it was because of that he was happy with what he was getting, or do you feel like he was taking it easy on them because they were young? I think Jeff loves the millennials.
He loves the millennials. Jeff loves the cool kids.
Oh, so he liked that.
I think
he related, like me. Yes.
Jeff is like, I relate to the cool kids. He's rooting for them to win.
Yes.
You know?
He wants a Figgy, Taylor, Jason, Michelle, Final Four.
He's thinking, look how they're so generous. They threw Hannah a bone. Look, they're so sweet. Yeah. They're being so inclusive when they don't really have to be, like, mm-hmm. you know. So Jeff is like super pro cool kids.
Yeah. I have so many different questions and things that I want to ask you about while you're here. Let me ask you this one. And this was a question that I got from a lot of different people, asked in a lot of different ways. But let me just give you this from Jonathan Amoris, who wrote into...
I know John.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. John is good friends with my roommate and my sister.
why didn't he just email you directly?
Well, because he's actually your fan as well. Okay. And he's a subscriber.
Okay, great. And one of the things that we're doing this season is that we're allowing people to write in more long form questions, survivor@robiswebsite.com. But this is a question that we got from a lot of different people. And this is from Jonathan, who wants to know, PG, can you talk about being a woman of color on Survivor, especially during the early part of the game? In recent seasons, we've seen first boots of So Kim, Nadia, Francesca. Other recent early boots include Shireen, Val, Bryce, even yourself. After the Koh Rong premiere, when Darnell was the first boot, Robin Bryce talked about people of color being targeted earlier. When tribes first form, people are drawn towards similarities, and a few people of color easily stand out. What are your thoughts? So, you know, we got this in the version of that Mari is Asian. Do you feel like that are Asian people targeted? Well, I mean... I have feelings about this, but I would love to get your take on this.
Yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. And also the first two boots of this season are both Asian females. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy because I was like, there's three Asian females. Like, mm-hmm. that's a lot for one season, you know? So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
You know, there is definitely a point about people of color, and it's not necessarily a racist thing. Mm-hmm. It's just we are drawn to birds of a similar feather.
Like, right. And I totally see that. And we've talked about that on the podcast before. Like, you're in a room full of strangers. I think that people tend to gravitate towards, okay, you seem familiar, and off the bat, I will, you know, we are friends because you remind me, or you look like me, or you're from the same place that I'm from.
Yeah.
So I agree that familiarity, I think, does breed alliances early on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's easy for me to kind of be astonished at this because I live in the West. We're on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. You know, I've grew up in LA, and then now recently I've been living in San Francisco. So to me, it's not... I don't feel like I stand out here, and mm-hmm. it's very mixed, but you know, it's very shocking to me when I go out there and all of a sudden I'm interacting with people that are from the Midwest, they're from the South. And I have actually, one of my ex-boyfriends is from Michigan, from the Midwest, and mm-hmm. I went home to visit his grandfather. I was literally the first Asian person he had ever even interacted with in his life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where he was bringing pamphlets to me of, you know, pointing out, like, he was like, do you see this name? And I was like, you know, William Hung or what? I don't know. Some
William
Asian.
Hung.
It was some Asian name. It was something. And he was like, just, we got Asian people here. And I was,
she bangs. She bangs.
Yes. Yep. Yes. No, but it was just, I was like, wow. And I know he didn't mean to be offensive. It's mm-hmm. just kind of ignorant or just, he's not used to it. It's like, I was like a foreign species or something. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, and so I think for a lot of these people on the show, they're just not used to interacting. You know, maybe they're just not used to it. And on top of that, I know that their tribe is very religiously mm-hmm. slanted. And Mari is, I think, not religious.
Okay. So, I mean, do you feel like that was a more of a factor? Because I mean, I didn't get the takeaway that that was that there was a bias from this group based on, and maybe I'm being totally naive here, PG, and tell me if you think that I am. But I didn't feel like that that was the case. And I mean, especially that, you know, Michaela was one of the votes that flipped against Mari.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this isn't a thing. I think we've documented that there seems to be like there's way too many times that it happens for it to just be coincidence. But I feel like in this instance that I don't think that was the case.
I don't think it's necessarily 100% the case, mm-hmm. but it's also it's just you don't want to be the person that stands out in Survivor, especially in the beginning. We all know this. There are other things. There are certain things you can hide if you're mm-hmm. super rich. You don't want to stand out by being super rich or whatever, but you can't really hide, mm-hmm. you know, skin tone or ethnicity, right? And so, no, you're right. Michaela was on the other side. It's not so blatantly obvious as like, let's get out all the color people. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not necessarily about that, but it's just like, who's not fitting in and why? And
I didn't really think it was the case with Rachel last week either. Like, I definitely think it's happened before in the past, but do you feel that way?
Subconsciously, it's maybe part of the reason why she doesn't fit in. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I mean, like, I get it. Like, when I was young, and this is why also this is something that's kind of dear to me. Like, when I was young and you're in school, and also we're older too, you have to remember, we're mm-hmm. a little bit more worldly as you've been more well traveled. Different features don't make you uncomfortable. You're used to it, or seeing mm-hmm. people eat different foods. But like when I was young and going to school, and I was bringing boxes of soy milk to school with like an Asian character on it, and everyone was like, gross, what is that? Or, you know, and I'm like, how do you know it's gross? You haven't tried it. But it makes you stand out and people notice you and pick on you for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you don't know the dynamic that goes on out there. If everyone else is in agreement that one thing is gross and you're like, well, I do this all the time. I eat this. You're going to stand out. And it's not, it's kind of cultural, but it isn't. It's like, they're like, well, we just don't understand you. So we're going to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely think it's sometimes it's a thing. And sometimes, you know, people just didn't work out. Like, I don't think that, you know, So Kim, people looked at her, you know, differently. And again, I could be totally naive, but like when I think sometimes like there's just things that happen in the game that get people off on the wrong foot, but maybe, you know, there's more reasons why people are feeling like more pressure to try to make a bolder, aggressive move early on because they feel like they don't fit in. So it's a complicated thing.
It's really tough. And I think it was also, you know, something that kind of struck me that when I was talking to Mari and I asked her what was the hardest part of being on Survivor for her. Mm-hmm. And she said that she didn't realize how easy it would be for her to revert back to this kind of nervous, awkward 14-year-old faced with the cool kids. Yeah. And I think that's a real statement because, like, you know, we feel like, I don't know, when you're surrounded by people of your tribe, you feel really comfortable and you're like, mm-hmm. you know, you're like a king in Survivor. But then maybe if you start hanging out with, I don't know, like the VH1 reality people, suddenly we're the dorks and nerds like in the reality world, you know, it's.
And I definitely got that in talking to her today from the interview where she's somebody here's this like, you know, very successful woman in real life who, you know,
who a lot of people look up to and think she's super cool and hot and beautiful.
Yeah.
And you're around these, you know, like beauty queens or frat boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you feel totally insignificant. And this happened to me on my seasons also. And it's bizarre. Like it's really weird. And it makes it really hard for you to try to come out of your shell and relate to them. You know, if she had been on a different tribe, like I said, it may have been different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me give you some other questions. This is one from Aiden. Okay. Who has a question for you.
That says, it looks good. Look at your face.
This is Aiden from Sydney who says, they have a question between the argument between Michaela and Figgy. During the episode, we saw Michaela and Figgy get in an argument, which reminded me of the argument that PG had with Abby during Second Chances. In both instances, we saw that neither person involved in the argument was voted off immediately. However, the tension created continued throughout the game. And for PG, it ultimately ended up contributing to her demise. What's the correct approach when you have an argument with somebody on Survivor? You could easily build a bridge, but it doesn't mean the relationship is fully mended. Is it possible that the Michaela versus Figgy storyline will continue throughout the season and ultimately continue to the demise of either Michaela or Figgy?
Well,
first off, do you see a parallel or do you think that it's completely apples and oranges?
Well, the parallel is that there's a fight and yet they still voted together.
Mm-hmm.
So I still voted together with... I voted together with Abby in the second episode as well after mm-hmm. our fight.
Yeah.
You know, but there is animosity there also that may continue to haunt them. And who knows what will happen in a tribe swap. Like, it'll be interesting to see if this continues. Maybe they break into tribes of three and... it'll be Figgy and Michaela together on one tribe, and then all the rest are filled with Gen X. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so that'll be kind of interesting to see how that happens, because in that case, like, Abby Maria was really kind of low on the totem pole in my original tribe, and I was doing pretty well. Like, I had mm-hmm. a lot of friends out there, and then suddenly we swapped, and now she's the swing vote, and she very easily jumped to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, some bridges can kind of be mended, but people are still going to be suspicious, you know, in their mm-hmm. hearts. And so, you know, the goal is to not fight with anyone. This is the ideal.
I mean, do you look back and say, like, boy, I wish I would have handled that differently, or, and it could have been, you know, you said before you felt like you voted the wrong way. Do you feel like that what you should have done was, instead of trying to fix it, you should have just said, okay, I'm going to cut my losses and I'll vote to keep Vetus at the first vote?
100%. I should have voted to keep Vetus at the first vote. No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and also in hindsight, mm-hmm. yes, it's easy to see it. At the time, it was really difficult because I liked Vetus personally, and I liked a lot of people mm-hmm. in his alliance.
Which was kind of a Gen X alliance.
Yes, and I'm Gen X, you know? Like, I like to work on the shelter. I believe in mm-hmm. these kind of values. And I think the people that value building the shelter over running off into the woods to strategize, these are people you can trust a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know? But on the other hand, that other alliance offered me a spot in their alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you going to go with? People that you like, or someone that has actively said, we're recruiting you, except, well, Abby Maria is part of this deal. You know, like, you have to just accept her as part of it because we need her numbers and I can control her, you know. And then what really put the nail in the coffin, and this is my own like ego and temper, was Terry Dietz. I don't know if we talked about this, but Terry Dietz took me on a walk right before the vote.
Okay.
And he goes, hey, Peach, I just wanted to let you in on the vote tonight. We already have the numbers, so we don't need your vote. But okay. I just want you to know so you don't feel left out.
Okay. So it was that an invitation to vote with them, or
yeah,
was
so
it just
we're voting
okay.
for Abby Maria. We have the numbers, but we don't need your vote, but we're going to tell you anyway. And mm-hmm. it was just so condescending, and it just grated on every last nerve in my body. And, you know, and at that point, I just wanted to see him go down in burning flames. Like, it, you know, and this is my own fault. Like, I should not have let that bother me. And this is why, like, I am not like a winner in Survivor.
Yes.
Because someone else would have handled this very graciously and been like, you know, and just would have fawned over it.
Yes. But you just wanted to see Terry just really just you wanted to see like
I just wanted to see his plan go down.
Smile and wiped off his face.
Flames. Yeah, this is my own. This is my cross to bear. That,
yes.
You know,
you were too spiteful.
A little spiteful. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I had already planned on voting for Vetus anyway.
Okay.
And I knew that he didn't have the numbers. But just, I was still kind of rolling around my head because I'm like, God, I really want to get rid of this bitch. Like, you know.
Who's Abby?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Terry.
No, they were voting. They were
like,
voting.
How dare you, PJ?
No. That was not directed towards. But it's okay. Vetus. But it's okay when it's directed towards Abby.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, it's just not a surprise. It's not a shock.
No. It's, you know, I just needed, yeah, I wanted to get rid of her. And I also thought it was the best vote for the well-being of the tribe.
But are you good
whole.
With Abby now? Isn't she a lot different not on the island?
Yes.
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 Okay.
The final answer is yes. No, she is different on the island, but I have had more interaction with her on the island than I have had with her off the island. So, mm-hmm. you know, unless I have better memories of her to replace those.
Okay.
Those are the memories that are going to stay, and I have no
so
plans.
So if you guys were able to spend some time together, then maybe you'd be able to heal these wounds in the real world.
Yeah, no.
So Dungeons and Dragons, you, me, Abby Maria.
We can all, I will buy you all some 20-sided die and we can sit and play. Actually, I will say at the reunion, surprisingly enough, I spent the most time hanging out with Abby at the reunion because mm-hmm. she is actually the person that I've spent the most time with that I knew the best from the game. Because we spent, you know, all of my 9 days on Second Chances, I spent all of them with her, Wu, and Varner. Those were the people that I was, you know, on the same tribes with the entire time.
Yeah. Okay. And it was fine.
It's fine.
It was fine.
It's fine. She's fine. I'm saying most of this just to be funny.
Okay. All right. Well, it's working. It's working. Okay. David Cintron wants you to settle something for us. How long would Chicken Morris last in a first boot season? This is something that came up on the podcast.
Damn. It's still good every time.
Yes. Would he do well if he played again?
Okay, so
season of first boots. We did a draft recently of all the first-time players that if they had a season of Survivor first boot, who would be the winner of that season?
Oh my gosh, who did you guys pick?
A lot of different people came up in the first boot drafts. I mostly went for people that I felt like it was just sort of like some bad circumstances where they sort of just got unlucky in different things. But I believe it might have been our good friend Kurt Clark who picked Chicken Morris
as the winner.
Yes.
Really? What was his reasoning behind it?
That he felt like, I think that he just really wanted to hear the sound effect. And I could be having it wrong. I think that maybe Sarah Freeman might have picked Chicken. I don't remember exactly.
Chicken was not playing a good game, though. I mean, it's, you know, he's older now. He's a little bit older. But it was also, I mean, one of the main reasons why I wanted him out was he absolutely refused to talk about anything, and it was very frustrating for me. You know, and constantly he's like, I'm just here to play. I don't want to lead. I don't want to give advice. I don't want to stand out. And you know, it was just kind of easy for him. And you know, he could have probably worked it a little bit more. But again, he was on a very young tribe.
Yeah, and he came up also because I don't know if you followed Australian Survivor, but there was the first boot in Australian Survivor had a similar story to Chicken Morris, where he said he could do a lot to improve the shelter and he could do a lot, but he chose not to.
Yes.
Because they didn't ask him.
Right. And you know, and it's the perception. You look at him, he's a chicken farmer. He's pretty built for like a 60-year-old man. I mean, he had abs and everything. Like, and yet he wasn't really helping. He wasn't, you know, when you're desperate out there and you want someone to help you and they refuse to, you're like, well, this is your one benefit to us. And if you're not providing it, then what? Yeah. You know, how else are you going to not help us?
PG, did I send this to you or did I just come close to it and not send it to you? When we were talking about lunch.
Uh-huh.
And I asked if I did write this.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were going to think it was too nerdy if I wrote Chicken Morris Caesar wrap.
He asked me what I wanted for lunch and I was like, just get a sandwich. He's like, how about a Chicken Morris Caesar wrap?
Damn,
that was my reply. Damn.
I couldn't remember if I actually went through with that or I just came dangerously close to doing it.
No, you did. It was extremely nerdy of you. Yes, I liked it very much.
I wasn't sure if you were going to turn the car around and then not come. I had to do it. Chicken Morris Caesar wrap.
Oh, no, it was good. I was looking for the GIF, actually. I was going to send you the GIF.
Damn. Yeah. All right. Let's see. You know, a lot of people wanted to know about the Asian women getting voted out. And people are very worried about Lucy now.
Well, who? I'm sorry. She has the cloak of invisibility. So she's safe.
Yes.
You know, this Asian women thing, I think it's a bit of a, is it a coincidence or not? Again, it's just that you stand out.
Yeah.
That's really it. You know, and in
races. Well, how did you the first time deal with that?
I felt very much so like on the outside. As I think, I don't know if probably nobody remembers the first episode of my season, but like it was really young. They're all sorority football kind of going, you know, people. And I've never been to I forget what they're called? Tailgate.
Okay.
Like they were all talking about tailgating parties and I'm like, I didn't even know what that was. You know, and so it's like just culturally, it's not necessarily even a racial thing, but it's a cultural thing. You're going to get along with people that you can discuss similar things with, you know.
You know, let me bring back this question. This is from one of our listeners, Dominic, not my son. But it is his birthday, my son.
Happy birthday, Dominic
Cesternino. In a season where the cast is divided by generation, there's also many who are leaning more religious. Will it benefit a player like Michelle, who's been able to show that she can get along with free spirits like the Triforce and can help bridge the divide between people who on the surface would not normally be able to work together? Is having this flexibility going to benefit long term in forming alliances with her? Now, I remember back from China, Leslie.
Yes.
That she was the Christian radio show host, and she wasn't getting, like, nobody was interested in that at Fei Long, right? But then somebody, like, who was it? Was it like Eric? What, Eric and Jamie were into it when she came to visit?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Sharia.
Yes.
Also is very religious. And they're all from the South.
Yes.
So it was like, and so it was not only.
And they hit, and they bonded over that.
They definitely bonded over
that.
And
then Leslie went back and was like, they're really nice over there.
They love Jesus. Yay. Like, I belong over there. Vote me out now. I mean.
Yeah. Todd was annoyed, right?
Courtney was also. Yes. Courtney's eyes like rolled all the way to the back of her head.
yes.
The religious thing is a very strong bond, which I don't understand, except in the fact that I bond with people who are not religious. So I kind of get it in that sense. You know, but it's Michelle has been really good about not pushing it down people's throats. You know, you're not, maybe we're not seeing it, but we're not seeing the montage of the prayer circle. Let's all hold hands and pray before a challenge or, you know, something like that. And then this is something that I heard also from Hannah was that she, as a self-described, you know, neurotic, quirky Jew, but she told me that she would go off and pray with this girl.
Like, yeah.
Pray.
Hey, Sophie did it with Coach.
Yeah, you know, you've got to, you do what you got to do out there. And so I think it worked both ways. Like, she was able to put it out there enough that other people were actually coming to her and trying to fit in with her. And I think it's to her credit that she didn't have to downplay her religious beliefs, and other people were actually trying to show her, like, that word, hey, you know, I'm going to try to relate to you in this way.
All right, we have so many more questions for you from our listeners. Aaron Robertson, one of the composers of the Hello PG song.
Oh, amazing, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. Wanted to say, hello, PG.
Hello.
I was wondering if you knew what you would do if you were Mari and your ally was having an intense conversation. Are you allowed to hold off the vote for 20 minutes and take the time to make sure the vote is going your way? So how much, like, filibustering are you able to do in terms of, like, getting the vote to come back your way?
You can filibuster as much as you can say, and I mean, anything goes at tribal, and you can always be like, you know what, hey Jeff, I'm not ready to vote yet, I have something I want to say. You can always,
and he would love that,
he would love it, you know, and not enough people really take advantage of
that. I think what he does not like is when you say, because there have been people that say, like, hey Jeff, I'm ready to vote. Let's vote right now. Let's vote. Okay, I'm ready. The vote is now. Let's do it. Let's get the vote right now. Enough of this chatter. Enough of this talk. It's time to vote.
You're saying he doesn't like that.
I don't think he likes that. I mean, maybe for the TV moment, and then he's like, oh, excuse me, let me run the tribal council.
He's the DM.
Right, I'm the DM. Yeah. Take your 20-sided die and stick it where the sun doesn't shine, because I'm running this show.
Exactly, except he would probably give them, like, the 7-sided one, because it's more pointy, but... Mari, no, she really should have said something, but I will say that this is her first tribal council.
Yeah.
On her first season. So you have to make allowances. You don't know what you're allowed to say and not say. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy for us, as you know, having played before or having watched a lot, to say, well, why didn't she do that at tribal council? But you don't know the etiquette at tribal council a lot of times. And this is the first one, you know, the first one, for the most part, you kind of want to sit there and not be called on, because you don't want to blow up your game, right? Like, it's a tricky, answering questions at tribal is a really tricky situation. Like, you have to be able to give Jeff enough that he's satisfied without blowing yourself up, without making your other tribe mates paranoid. Like, it's an art form, you know?
Yeah.
She did blow a chance a little bit by not really calling them out, but maybe that's just not in her nature, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, someone like me or like Michaela, like, I'm always calling people out, and that's not good either, though. I mean, you have to have the wisdom to know when to do it, right?
No, it is really like a press conference. It's like you want to say something, but you don't want to say anything too good. You want to say something that's like going to be enough of a soundbite that Jeff is like, okay, let me move on to somebody else. Because really, when he it's where he gets frustrated is when he feels like you're not giving him anything. You're stonewalling him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets pissed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I will say, too, that when you're this whole thing of blindsiding people now, it's makes it even trickier to talk at tribal council because it's like we've all agreed that we're going to vote for this person, but we're going to pretend like we're voting for this other person. And people are so good at talking about this person that I'm starting to think, shit, did they change their vote? Am I, you know, am I missing something? Because
it's hard to tell.
Yeah, they're so good at the misdirection. Like it's terrifying.
Okay. This is a question from Ariel, who wants to know, we heard about a Swiss Army knife type bracelet that you brought into Second Chances. I'm so curious about what it could do and how it got taken away. And then Natalie Anna wants to know, what exactly did you smuggle on Second Chances in your jewelry and how did it get sprung?
Oh, man, I should have brought that. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, that would have been great. Like show and tell.
Yes, yes. I should have brought it here because I actually have a copy of the cardigan. So it's not a Swiss Army knife. I did not manage to smuggle Swiss Army knife on, but I did make a cardigan with a piece of flint that I had covered in, actually I covered it in fishing wire first, and then I covered that with twine. And I sewed that onto a cardigan as kind of like a fastener toggle, and I made two because I didn't know, you have to send in wardrobe and I don't know which one they're going to pick. So I made two of them. So luckily I still have one intact.
Yes. So how did you get busted?
I pulled it off on the first day and was like, hey, you guys, I smuggled in flint. Like,
you were so proud of yourself.
I was very proud of myself. I kind of thought,
like this contraband in prison,
if I made it
right
out there in plain sight, it was not smuggled in any, you know, medical supplies or anything like that. Like I was like, this is, I submitted this.
Like you're throwing shade against somebody.
I felt like it was very MacGyver and I should be rewarded for this.
Yes, just for your ingenuity.
Yes, you know. And they took it away right away. They're like, you can't have this. I'm sorry. I also had...
Yeah, there's not a lot of sense of humor for that of, look what I smuggled into the game. Do I get to keep it now?
No. Well, I will say the producers were nice. He goes, I want to tell this story so bad. He's like, but I just can't let you have it. Like, you know. I had made fish hook earrings.
Yeah.
So that's why I put the fishing wire around the toggle as well. Like, because I'm like, well, you need a fishing wire.
And how'd those get confiscated? Then they were just like taking away all of
They didn't take the earrings away.
Yes.
But we were given fishing equipment. So it didn't even matter, you know, but I just wanted to have them anyway.
And then what were you making from Abby's bracelet?
Oh, God.
When you took it. Was that something else that you were going to turn into something?
Oh, God, Abby's bracelet. I was creating my own downfall, like, with that one.
There was no other thing that it could do? It wasn't made out of something?
Oh, man, her fucking ego, maybe, like, my dignity, hers, stolen away. Oh, God, no.
Now, so would you recommend somebody attempt something like this in the future, or do you feel like, hey, take it from me, there's no upside in this, I tried, you can't get away with it, or do you feel like...
smuggling things in.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually found inspiration from, in season two, Colby brought in a giant flag as his luxury item, and you could use it as a tarp.
Yeah.
So a piece of my wardrobe happens to spark, to make sparks. I mean, well, what's wrong with that? Like, you know,
you have different people that are like, oh, I have glasses. I could start fire with my glasses.
Right. Exactly. So you know what? Smuggle as much as you can in, because I feel like you don't know what's going to be able to get past them or not. Right. Mm-hmm. And what's the worst that'll happen? They'll take it away.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it. I didn't, you know, you're not penalized.
Did they
for
take
it.
Away your sweater, or they just took away that piece? That
the piece.
You could, yeah.
Because I took it off of the sweater.
Yeah.
You know, in China, Jamie Dugan's luxury item was a slip and slide.
Okay.
Which is also, but she's
a
like,
tarp.
This, it was a giant deluxe slip and slide, which apparently was like a crazy tarp. you know, I mean, so it's like, well, you don't know what you can get away with.
Okay. Zach Vossler says, League of Legends World Championship start today. Who are you rooting for?
Oh, man, I'm so bad. I don't even... Cloud9. Yes. And they're the only ones I can kind of remember. But yes, League of Legends, that's the game that I play. So okay. You guys can all follow me.
So what do you? How often do you play this game? So you and you're still playing the same game that you just play League of Legends. You don't get bored?
I don't get bored. It's like Survivor.
Yes.
It's the exact same format every single game. There's the same map, but it's every game is different, mm-hmm. right? Because of how the players choose to play the game.
Yeah.
So it's there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot of similarities between League of Legends and
why do
Survivor
you only play that
well.
One game? Because I was asking you before we came on, and I was saying, like, you know, how big of a gamer are you? Are you, like, are you really into it? And you said, no, I only play one game. I'm not like, you know, Ken. This is just the only game that I play.
Yes. This is mainly, well, no, I've played a lot
LOL,
of...
LOL, that's it.
LOL. No, I'm an old school gamer. I mean,
Gen X gamer.
I'm a Gen X gamer. I started playing
Gen
EverQuest.
Xbox, yes.
EverQuest, which you probably don't know about because you're not...
No.
Nerdy enough.
No.
But EverQuest
is it like Leisure Suit Larry?
No.
Okay.
What's
that's an old game. That's another game.
No, so these are all role-playing games. Yes. I was heavily into the fantasy yes. role-playing thing. I played EverQuest, I played World of Warcraft, and then I played some StarCraft. That's how I became friends
StarCraft.
With Ken.
Yes.
StarCraft. And then Ken is actually the one that told me to look into League of Legends. He's like, I think you'll like it. Mm-hmm. It's a good mixture of role-playing and strategy.
Okay. Brian Elwood tweeting about how you were at the dentist this week. I also was at the dentist.
What did you get done?
It's that there was like, I have like a crown that they had to take off and put a new thing on.
Brutal.
They're
expensive.
It's a whole big thing. I don't want to talk about it.
I had a root canal.
I know. Oh, you just read the pictures and they let you listen to podcasts when you do a root canal.
Yeah. You don't. Listen to
no. I'd love to. I feel like it's rude. I feel like the dentist is gonna be mad.
What? No, they want you to. She used to tell me I was the best patient ever because I just sat motionless.
Oh,
for like
I would
an
love it. I long to go to the dentist and listen to podcasts.
They're not. Are they talking to you while they're
not really.
Doing your teeth?
Not really. But I feel like then if they might want to talk to me.
I told her I was like, if you need to tell me something,
like
tap on my arm.
I have like an old school dentist.
No, but they get it. Come on, it's loud. The most terrifying.
Need a millennial dentist.
You need a millennial. No, the most terrifying part of the dentist is the sound of that drill.
I know.
Handle it.
I know. It's terrible.
Like I had the sound of Rob's voice instead. It was much better.
Yeah, a lot of people would say that's worse. Don't ask Nicole on the way out. Brian Elwood wants to know, would you rather have another root canal or play again with Abby Maria?
I would rather have all of my teeth plucked from my face.
No, like, stop it.
Swear to God. I would say no. If they said Abby Maria is going to be on this season, I really might say no. I understand why.
You'd pull an RC?
No. You haven't played with this person.
No, I've podcast with her. I've interviewed her.
I loved Abby Maria before I played mm-hmm. with her. Okay.
Yeah.
Like this is coming from someone
who's good on the podcast.
She's great on the podcast. She's amazing TV. I am not disparaging mm-hmm. this at mm-hmm. all. Like yes. she was my favorite character on Philippines. Mm-hmm. And I always root for hot messes. Mm-hmm. This is who I will always root for in yes. any show is the hot ass mess that is just super emotional all the time. And somehow they always kind of manage to like Forrest Gump their way through everything. Like that, this is why I loved Abby Maria. I thought we were going to get along really well. I didn't mm-hmm. know she was going to be batshit crazy, you know, but
emotional.
It's not only that this is a woman who accused me of working hard on purpose just so I would make her look bad.
Well, did you?
Of course. Everything I do it revolves around making Abby Maria look bad. It's become this like self-fulfilling prophecy. No, I mean, I'm sure she's a lovely person outside of the game, but in game, it's really bad.
Okay. Here's a question from Megan who says, "Hi PG, what do you think of Lucy's purple edit so far? My new theory is that with the first two boots being Asian women, maybe they're hiding Lucy so it becomes even more awesome when she starts dominating the game and ultimately becomes the first female East Asian winner."
I would love for that to happen. I don't know if I see it happening, but we've had winners in the past that were pretty invisible in the first couple edits. Mm-hmm. So it might be a good thing. It might mean that they're saving all of her good stuff for later. Like I said, she's the producers have given her the cloak of invisibility. Like, this is like Harry Potter's magic cloak, and he can sneak around undetected. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. Mischief managed in the future, I hope. Like,
okay, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Andrew Kirk wants to know, is there anyone else from John Who should get to play a second time? Who else? Let me see if I can name everybody from John Who. Let me see if I can do it. Okay, so it's an 8-person tribe.
Yeah.
There's, obviously, there's you. There's Sharia. There is Jamie. And then Ashley Mazzaro, right?
Yes.
And then Chicken Caesar.
Damn!
Chicken Morris Caesar Rep. Damn. And then Dave Cruiser.
Former model.
And former model. And then, okay, and then Eric.
Yes.
And then who's the other guy?
Oh, man, he's forgettable.
Okay, it's Chicken, Dave, Eric, and
a guy.
It's a guy. Yeah, it has to be a guy. Boy,
you want a hint?
Hold on, let me think about it for a second. Why is there a missing person from the John Who tribe? it's Frosty.
Yes,
yeah, Frosty.
Yes, the little ninja.
I forgot about Frosty. You know, I think of him more with the other people from Fei Long.
They were the cool kids.
He switches over pretty quickly.
They were the cool kids.
Yeah, forgot Frosty. Sorry, Frosty.
Sorry, Frosty.
Do you ever talk to him? Do you ever know what he's doing?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
What's he doing?
He's awesome. He's still doing the parkour.
Yes.
I think he's in Greece right now for some competition. And then he actually...
Did he do American Ninja Warrior?
Yes.
Or, yes.
Yes, he did American Ninja Warrior.
And did he win?
Not that I know of.
He should have. He should have. He's good.
He's opened up some hipster store with his girlfriend.
Like, what do they sell?
Hipstery things like hats and overpriced leather goods. No, I don't know. I mean, it's a beautiful store. I'm just being a judgy asshole right now. No, he has.
Can I go
really
pick
cool
up a flint sweater?
A flint? Yes, yes. This is coming out soon.
That's like a hipster item. A flint sweater. Okay, let's see. This is some other one from, let's see. We covered a lot of this different stuff. Paolo Antonio says, could you have gone all the way to day 39 even with a staph infection? So you had a staph infection in Cambodia?
No, well, I got it on my pre-jury trip.
Okay, oh, got it.
It's painful, and it was on my ass. Like,
wait, hold on. So now, correct me if I'm wrong. So staph infection, that's like that same thing that everybody had in Koh Rong, right? But you didn't get it on Survivor?
I don't know where I got it from.
You didn't get it like sitting on Angkor Beach?
No, I got it on the very last day of the vacation, which is a 2-week trip. So
yes.
Hopefully any bacteria I picked up from there should have been long washed.
I mean,
off.
Is it a safe for work story to tell how this happened?
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, it's just gross, but it's, well, I will say I actually had it for when I was on starting at Ponderosa.
Okay.
It did come up, but we had a lot of bug bites, and you know how some bug bites will blister?
Mm-hmm.
So this was like right on my ass cheek where you sit.
Okay.
Pretty much at the edge of the shorts. I think it was just the swim. Sorry. But it became a really big blister, like this big.
Yes.
Like hyper painful to sit on.
What just bit my ass?
Yes.
Something just bit my ass.
Yes. So this really happened to you?
Yeah, it was. So
there was a lot of like ass biting bugs in Cambodia.
The puppies and butts. Butts. Yes. Butts are a thing on. So this is the new thing on Survivor. It was very painful, but I would have. You know, you have to get through. When I was on it, I got a really bad sea urchin stinger in my thumb.
Yeah.
That was probably the worst pain I'd ever felt in my life.
Oh my God.
They didn't show it. It's too bad.
And so how do they treat that? Was it just like antibiotics? Is that how they treat it?
The infection?
Yeah.
I wasn't able to treat it until I came back to the States. But yeah, just antibiotics and like a cream.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
But thanks for your concern about my ass.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Yes. Very concerned. Very concerned. All right. Kevin McClain, PG, what's it like working with Alliance members that you don't care for? How do you manage those relationships?
Oh, man. I'm so, well, obviously I'm not the person to be asking because mm-hmm. I don't manage them very well.
Yeah.
you know, and I remember it was funny because I came back after I had that fight with Abby Maria, and I was good friends with Kelly Wigglesworth, and she hated Abby Maria with a burning passion also. Yeah. And I had been keeping a rein on her because she'd be so pissed. She's like, I got to say something to her. And I'm like, no, let's just don't rock the boat. Like, let's, you know,
where
let's
was
be
this?
Cool.
This is after the game?
No. This was on the
beach.
On the beach.
Yes.
And then after I came back and she came up to me, she's like, I can't believe you went off on her. Like, and you've been telling me to stay calm. And she's like, that's not fair. I want to say something. And then so she like went ahead and said something. And then yes. Terry and everyone just dogpiled after that.
Are you excited? Are you going to be watching Kelly Wigglesworth's new show with Joe Anglim?
Yes.
Yes. You don't know about this?
I do. Okay. I'm also just.
You're just confused.
I want to gossip about what's going on with the two of them. Oh,
well. I mean, that. Can we do this? You want to cut this? I mean, that's. So why? You have information? You
know
that they're.
No.
Okay. PG is holding out on us. Does that seem like a show you would watch? You would check that out?
I would watch it.
Joe Anglim and Kelly Wigglesworth. They have a new show. I don't know if we talked about it in the episode recap. They have a new show that's coming out. It's
Mana,
it's called. And
Mana's throwing me off because that's the term we use in League and in a lot of these games where
yeah.
this is your casting power.
Your casting power, like
yeah.
like me.
Yes, this is the yes. Rob Sesternino power.
Right. So what is a casting power is called mana?
Yeah. So, you know, you have health points and when your health runs out, you're dead. You also have
mana points.
Mana points.
Mm-hmm.
And each spell costs like, I don't know, 20 mana or 50 mana. And you need, you know, that's your magic reservoir.
Yes.
If you
okay.
will.
All right. And so that's what this show is about, their magic reservoir.
That's what I keep thinking of every time I see the show name. I'm like, are they going to start casting Magic Missile? Like,
yes.
This is a show I want to watch.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, this is a little bit like a Figgy and Taylor thing, right?
But less smug than Failer.
Yes. 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 Do we have a name for Joe and Kelly?
Jelly?
Jelly?
Jelly? Are we... Are we? Because I'm jelly. Like, I want to travel the world and just have incredible amounts of mana. Like,
I did not think that mana was where you were going to end that sentence with.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Then let's see. Gregory says, can Michaela use her blunt honesty as an advantage to take her further in the game? Because she's perceived as a possible goat and untrustworthy at the same time. Now, I mean, certainly... In China, I mean, Courtney was seen as somebody who was bluntly honest. And, you know, I think that people like looked at her as she was always going to say what she meant. That there is something, I think, to that.
Absolutely. It makes you seem you want to be perceived as not sneaky.
Yeah.
You know, and just having a reputation for just always saying what's on your mind can be helpful as long as you know how to moderate that yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but having that reputation is good.
Yes. Xandra says, could Mari have convinced the other players that she is at a disadvantage as a gamer because of her lack of a social game, as the Twitter haters have suggested? I don't like that people say like, oh, see, video gamer, they don't have a social game.
That's absolutely not true.
Not
a lot
true.
Of, no, but there is that perception that mm-hmm. gamers and you know what? And it doesn't have to be true, but it can be as well, because a lot of times you're sitting in your basement playing by yourself, you
mm-hmm.
know? And even I've fallen into that stereotype because, like I said, I'm good friends with Ken and I always think of him as like my nerdy little brother. But whenever we hang out, I am always impressed with how graceful he is socially. Like
yeah.
he's actually really charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Ken is like he's got like plus 10 to charisma.
Whoa.
I would really say, you know, he's really mellow and easygoing. But you know, I don't know that they saw her as a threat because of her video game prowess. I mean, did she say that she thought that was a reason why?
No, not necessarily her video game prowess, but I think that they felt like she felt like that. Well, it wasn't that far of a leap to, oh, well, she's really strategic and stuff like that, that she knows how to play these games and she has, you know, she doesn't, again, now I'm confused between what you said about that she doesn't need it or if that was from her exit interview. All these talks
I think
get
that was yeah. something I said.
Yeah. So you put words in her mouth.
No, I'm speculating yeah. that
I think that just based on my exit interview with her, I did feel like that she was saying that Will did stoke those flames a little bit against her.
You know, when it's a first vote, any little reason to kind of vote someone out becomes magnified because you want to feel good about, everybody feels bad about who they're voting out first. You always feel bad about it. You know that you don't want to be that person. You feel bad that you've inflicted that on someone else. So you're going to kind of magnify whatever little reason you have for it.
Okay. A couple other questions. Edmo, Edward Morris says, will Kenny, Rob, and yourself play Mario Party? And Kevin Connolly says, I'm sorry, Kevin Connolly says, not the guy from Entourage, will we be seeing a Mari, Kenny, and PG Let's Play as they battle in the Survivor video game?
There's a Survivor video game?
I think there's like crappy ones. Like I used to play one that was like a PC game, like a really long time ago. That it like only had people from like the first... I mean, it had people from like the first four seasons.
Right, right.
And it was really, and it only had people that made the merge. And the only thing that made the jury. Yeah, so like Boston Rob wasn't even in it, but like people from Marquesas were in it. But it did not have anybody that was pre-jury.
They should have a Survivor. We, you know what we should play is a version of Mafia that's Survivor themed.
Yes, I would love that. I think that that would be really fun. I don't know if you ever saw that when I had done the Reality Game Masters a couple of years ago, where we had done where we had three people from Survivor and three people from Big Brother, and we played a game of Risk, and we and we did it like in on like a stage, and we filmed it almost like a reality show, and it was fun. But I do feel like that that was sort of like it was hard to follow the game. But I do think like a game of Mafia would be very fun. I feel like you could almost even do it over a Google Hangout. Yes, you're in on this?
Yes, can we have game night, please?
All right, sure. So you want to have game night in, and do we have to like be in person, or you can pull this off online?
In person would be
fun. Okay, in person.
Fun.
All right, who's there? Who's coming to game night?
Me. Okay. Me. I want to come to game night.
All right, you're in.
Ken will
Ken
come
is in.
100%.
Okay.
God, I know who else is playing. Who else does game night? Like
okay, well, we can figure out the details. All right. So, yeah, if we can, I mean, if we can pull off the shoot, like I'm happy to you know, to put it together.
That would be really fun. There's actually have you played Codenames?
No.
It's a really fun game. It's a little complicated to explain, but there's a whole bunch of different words out there. And so I'm going to say like five words, then I'm going to say one word that from my one clue, you're going to pick out which of the words fall within that clue. And they're kind of disparate, but you need to find one that somehow merges them all. It's fun. It's like a fun kind of word game, you know. It's,
yeah.
But we could do like Survivor themed.
I'm into it. We may need some production help on it. I feel like it's a little out of my league, just to out of my League of Legends to sort of just throw together. Really, my thing is just like filming one thing that's happening in one spot. Not a ton of edits.
Well, yeah, but this could just be something that you would do on like a Paris, just do live, like just off the cuff.
Okay. All right. So it's like a live stream of it.
I think that would be a fun extra. It would just be basically an excuse for us to get together and drink and play games, and then
I'd be into it. Hopefully, we can we can tweak this.
Yes,
we were talking about with Ken of doing some sort of a Mario Party.
Ken is really into Mario Party.
And he's really into it. He says it's like Survivor. It's not. It's not.
How is I am interested to see how Ken thinks it is like Survivor.
I'm getting tricked.
I can explain exactly why League of Legends is like Survivor, but I don't know how Mario Party is like it. It's just, well, I guess maybe because it's a bunch of carnival games, maybe.
I guess so. All right. Well, I was getting my hopes up for that. All right. Edward Morris also said, did you play Pokemon Go?
I do.
Yes. Okay. And you're into it?
I am into it when I can get the internet to work, but it's it's a collector's. It's just about collecting and like, I like.
You're bored.
When you're bored, you're running, you're out going for a run, like, and you know, I was actually playing a game of League with Kenny, and he goes, okay, but if I see a Snorlax in my area, I have to go, and we're about to load the game, and he literally goes, Snorlax! He goes, bye, and then he peaced out, like, disconnected.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's...
And did he catch it?
He did catch it, but this guy also has 20 Snorlaxes, and this probably won't mean anything to you, but people that play the game will be impressed.
Yeah, I know Snorlax.
Okay.
I know Snorlax.
He's like the rarest one. It's like finding an idol.
Yes. You don't even find him in a coconut.
Yeah, exactly. A glued together paper mache coconut. Okay.
Do you have a winner pick for the season?
Yes, but she got voted out last night. Okay.
So Mari was your winner pick?
Mari was
That was
my
Nicole's winner pick.
Oh, God. She looked so good going in. Like, gamer, ballerina.
It was too perfect.
That was probably something that came into it that didn't get mentioned, but being a ballerina, I feel like you've got, you're athletic, you've got the balance, like, you're going to be good at challenges. God, who am I going to pick now?
I don't know.
Michelle looks good.
Yes. Okay. You think we get back-to-back Michelle winners?
Maybe.
That'd be confusing. That would be
It'd
confusing.
Be a little confusing. They kind of even look a little similar, too. These pretty brunettes.
Yes.
God, who else looks... I don't know. Who are you? Who's your winner pick?
I just made Chris my winner pick.
Chris!
Yeah. Well, I just went with a nice... I was so tired of getting these winners wrong. I just said, let me just give me a nice, safe... It's going to go right down the middle... Vanilla winner pick. Give me Chris.
Huh. Maybe.
Didn't want to go too exotic or go out on a limb. I said, look, who knows anything? Let me just play it safe. Play it close to the vest. Who knows?
You know what? Jeff seems to really like this season, so it must be a white male.
Yes. Yeah, that factors in. Let me see if there's anything else to ask you that we haven't talked about. Let's see. This is a you want to get like a really nerdy strategy talk?
Yes, please.
Okay. Danielle says, do you think that Michaela, Will, and Hannah will regret the decision to vote for the Triforce with the Triforce and Michelle? Even if they're in a loose group of six, there was more room for forming a good sub alliance within the larger group. Instead, they chose to go with a tight group of four, leaving the three of them on the bottom. Do you think any of them will want to flip back after they have some time to think about the vote?
Who's them? She means Hannah.
Hannah, Michaela, and Will. The three flippers. Flippers never win.
Yes, because there's a tight group of four, and then there's them three, but then there's another two on the outside. So they could very easily go back.
Zeke and Adam. Yeah.
Michaela felt, you know, and it was one of those things. I think Michaela felt vulnerable being told that she was number two. I think that was a big motivating factor for her to flip this time.
Mm-hmm.
Things change overnight in Survivor, as we can see. And so, you know, the foursome is tight, and that's to their benefit. Because from what I heard, the other six are pretty loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may regret it, but they've given themselves a lot of room, I think.
Yeah. Now, Adam is a big Survivor Redditor.
Uh-huh.
You are the queen of Survivor Reddit. Is that what's your official title?
Am I really?
I thought so. I mean, that weren't you? Didn't you plant the flag first?
I was the first AMA.
I thought you are that PG is loved by the gays, as I've been told. That's what the
ring the bell? can I touch your bell?
And by Reddit, I felt like that those are your two big your bases.
Yes, those are. Well, because I'm just one of them, and it's also that I think I'm kind of I wear the outcast flag like loud and proud,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's a reason why gays and probably Redditors are kind of drawn to that, you
mm-hmm.
know, because just by virtue of, well, like, you know, say if you're gay, for example, you're kind of on the outside of society mm-hmm. a little bit.
Because that's one of your claims to fame, right? That you were basically the first Survivor to be posting on the Survivor Reddit, right? Which is now over 25,000 subscribers, I believe.
I posted on regular
Reddit.
Regular AMA.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even really know about, but I was very new to Reddit at the mm-hmm. time. And it's actually my sister, Jade, who is a Redditor, and she was like, you know, there's this really cool
get on here.
Forum. Yeah, she was like, yes. Nobody's done an AMA on being a Survivor. She's like, I think it'd be really interesting.
Yes. And so you were the first.
Yes.
I feel like I was like the third or the fourth.
Who's the next one that did one after that?
I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody will let us know.
Well, Barack Obama had just done one
when you had done it. So
yeah.
So you did it like what? Like right after your season? When was that?
No, but it was 5 years ago, maybe.
I think it was 2012 when I did mine.
Wow.
Yes.
we're going
way
back.
Not like these Johnny come latelys.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
We're Gen X. We
Gen
forged.
X.
You know,
well, and so you were saying that there's also that there's a video about the support for you and for Kimmy.
Gays for PG, gays for Kimmy, gays for PG. This video is amazing.
Is that one video?
Yeah, it's somebody wrote this song. It's kind of like a rap. They wrote the entire song and did a whole video about it.
And it's called, the song is called Gays for PG, Gays for Kimmy?
I think it's called Gays for Days. Is the
Gays for Days.
So, yeah, subtitle.
And then the chorus is Gays for PG, Gays for Kimmy?
Yeah, you have to watch it. It's brilliant.
Can I bring it up over here?
Yeah, It's honestly, it's really good, and it brings me joy every time I see it.
Okay. All right. Can I play it? You want to put your headphones on?
All right.
Okay. So let me see. I have to switch from this.
Playing after getting all our votes a second chance.
It makes me sad.
To prove that they could choose the right vote and block and when to make.
Okay, so where is this? Gays for PG?
Or try maybe Gays for Days and then my name.
Okay.
God, I don't really remember the name of it.
We might have to put it in post.
We were going so good. PG the day after?
No.
Okay, we might have to just link to it. I'm sorry, PG.
It's all right.
If I was at my desk, we could maybe look into it. I'm sorry. We'll post it on the website.
Oh, we should have queued it up before we came on. It's so amazing.
Yeah. So, and what is the connective tissue between you and Kimmy? Are you guys? Did you guys unite for this?
Or is it just that
you share a fan base?
Apparently, we share a fan base. Like, I'm not even sure how I somehow became Queen of Gays, which I'm totally happy to take this mantle. You know, and I have a lot of ties to the community. My best friend is gay. So is my roommate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, and I feel really connected to them in a lot of ways. I think it's very brave. It's one of those things where, like, maybe I'll stand out because I'm Asian, but I can't really do anything about that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think just as a gay person, there is a lot of discrimination still, you know, and, you know, this is something that you could hide.
Right.
But the fact that they don't, and they're like, well, this is who I am, and I'm going to be very, you know, it's just part of me. This is, and just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still a kind of a brave thing, especially seeing how, you know, there was that whole massacre that happened.
In
Florida or whatever.
Yeah.
So I really relate. I relate a lot. And, you know, I feel like maybe they kind of relate in a way because there's some underdog story to it. I don't really know. And also, I'm just probably a little bit fabulous and geeky and nerdy. And
yes, you have your 20-sided die.
I have my 20-sided die on one hand. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, PG, thank you so much for coming. This was so much fun to talk through everything from this season and getting to see you here in person. I really do appreciate that. Hopefully, a lot of people watch the video.
Yes, yes. Tune into the video. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad that you were able to make it out here, and I'm glad that we were able to, you know, shoot this here.
Yeah. Oh, I feel I popped the cherry in your new studio.
Well, we tried to move the, you know, I've rearranged the room a bunch of times, but this is, you know, what we were going for to try to, you know, it's a tough room to shoot. It's one thing to do just the podcast where I'm by myself, but it is tricky to figure out how to shoot the room for two people and then not completely mess with the setup for when I have to do the next live show that I have to do, which is going to be tomorrow. Talking about BBOTT. Do you ever watch The Big Brother, PG?
Not once.
No, you never did. No interest to you.
It's,
you play Dungeons and Dragons, but you won't even look at Big Brother.
It's Survivor with alcohol, right?
There's alcohol. I mean, Survivor has alcohol too. It's people locked in a house. Why? That doesn't appeal to you at all, PG?
I just haven't. Not really.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, this one is different. This one is called Big Brother Over the Top.
So just outrageous.
Yes.
Outrageous contestants.
Yes. Yes. It's called. They call it BBOTT.
It's just more is a strategy, but also with more drama. It's like Real World meets Survivor,
and more voting from the fans.
Oh, I see.
You won a fan vote once. You like voting?
Yes, I like vote.
You like democracy?
I like fan votes when it's going my way.
Yes, when they go your way. Yes,
I just don't want. You know, I don't watch a ton of TV, but
This isn't on TV. This is CBS All Access.
Oh, it's online.
Yeah, it's online.
All right, all right. Do you? My favorite reality show is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, yeah. Well, we cover that as well. So, you're into it?
Yes.
Would you be a guest on the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I don't host that one. That's.
I was about to go. I was going to go tonight to go watch it at Mickey's in West Hollywood because Alyssa Edwards is hosting it.
Whoa.
Tickets are sold out.
Damn.
Boo.
Do you watch Australian Survivor?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, you didn't know the Australian chicken. It's long. It's long. It's a long. It's a lot of episodes.
Oh, really?
It's a lot of episodes. 55 days.
Oh, it's 55.
Three nights a week.
Is it very different from our version?
No, I mean, format-wise, it's the same. The difference, I feel like, is maybe it might be in the attitudes of the contestants.
Which is what?
I think that a little bit more of, like, the Wigglesworth view of the game. Not as much of, like, really hard gamers. There's a few, but there's a lot of people that are sort of, like, just like, well, let's, you know, integrity.
It's very Australian.
Honor. Yeah. So, but it's fun. It's fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, can I plug?
You can plug whatever you want, PG.
I want to plug. I want to plug my website, but yes. Also, as you know, I do jewelry.
Yes.
Do plug my jewelry. But I am going to be starting a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Soon, talking about jewelry and like how to buy a ring, how to buy jewelry and not feel ripped off and mm-hmm. all those things. So I get really kind of nerdy and geeky about it. But it'll be fun. Like, hopefully, you
is
know.
It up already? Can people
it's
go
not,
look at it?
Okay. No, it's I'm moving back to LA to work on this.
Okay.
So I just want people to be on the lookout. And
be on the lookout.
Yeah. Okay. And
it's
follow me on Twitter.
Pre-plug.
And, but follow me on Twitter. It's I'm at PEIHGEE, my first name, and I'll announce it when it's finally up then.
Okay. One of the best Twitter handles there is.
Yes. Amazing. And it's all capitals.
Yes. No, that's good. It's good. I mean, all these people with like underscores and, you know, like pound symbol or not pound symbol.
hashtags.
Yeah. So that look, that's good. Look at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Early adopter.
Well, it's I'm also blessed with a unique name that
yes,
helps
that's
a
true.
Little bit.
That's true. Also, that's true. Also, it's a good job by you.
Yeah, good job, mom and dad.
Yes. All right. And the hashtag for today is
hashtag failure.
Failure. How do you spell failure? F-A-Y-L-O-R.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. All right. So that's good. So that's the hashtag failure.
Or F-A-I.
Yeah. Well. The thing is, the problem is that, like, where's the I coming from?
Figgy. Because they've
we invert,
kind of intersected like this.
The
like.
I and the A? It's like what goes on in the shelter? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So that's fun. We have, of course, my BBOTT coverage is going to kick off on Friday. I'll be live. I think right now we're scheduled for 7 p.m. Eastern to talk BBOTT. We're also going to have our voicemail podcast, Darnell Hamilton.
Oh, cool.
Very excited to talk to Darnell about all of the voicemails.
Is that people also asking questions? Or?
Yeah, that's our voicemail podcast. We have people call in, and all the listeners call in with their questions about the episode and, you know, questions for Darnell.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so that's the voicemail show. And then we'll get into everything with The Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler and Why Mari Lost with David Bloomberg.
Nice. Oh, a lot of good stuff coming up.
Also, I just want to thank all of our new patrons who came on board at the start of this Survivor season. Always greatly appreciated. And we do try to put as much of the contributions from the patrons that we get back into the show. So hopefully you guys are enjoying some of the new stuff that we've done with the start of this new season. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, go to robinsawebsite.com/patron. PG, thank you so much. So great to see you.
Yes.
And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.